Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Now is the time that the leaves are changing, giving us an array of fall colors. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hi there, Murph.
Hello.
Today on GLT's Grow, Murph talks about the science of fall colors. I love science.
Science is cool, and fall color is even cooler.
All righty, dude.
You know, there's so many things we love about fall. There's even a smell, I think, that you can think of when it comes to fall color. You know, the rainy day when there's leaves laying all over the ground.
Yes, I love that.
That's a great smell.
It is.
But, you know, when it comes to fall color, Laura, there's one primary contributor to the changing of the leaves, and that's the ratio of day to night, mm-hmm. or the hours of sunlight, right? And as they decrease, the trees... factories that are doing photosynthesis and the process of chemical chlorophyll, which makes the leaves green, it lessens. It lessens, and then I'd like to give credit to a Nat Geo program that I saw, and I even read the credits to try and find the fellow's name, but I couldn't do it. But he said something that I thought was brilliant about fall color.
What's that?
That's the trees showing you their real color is in the fall, their real color.
Yes.
Because they're all green because of the photosynthesis and the chlorophyll on the leaves.
Uh-huh.
And there are lots of factors. You know, I think I've been in this career a long time, and myself and my colleagues and coworkers on and off during the years get asked the question, what are the fall colors going to do this year? And it's always kind of a guess, but there is some science behind it. So in addition to the decreasing hours of sunlight, there's also the decrease in photosynthesis, and the decreasing of night starts to help the abscission layer. That's where the leaf is attached to the branch.
Uh-huh.
It starts to weaken.
Oh, I see.
So you can have scenarios where, similar to the Midwest drought conditions that we have here, it's been hot and it's been dry. We've been long between rains since early summer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be some trees that the leaves are not even turned yet. They're still a pale green, maybe
yes.
even a brownish color.
Yeah.
And you can see this in hackberry trees. They oftentimes have leaves that turn brown on the tree, and then they hit the ground. But you'll just as often find little clusters of leaves that are still green and yellow, where the little abscission has broken away from the stem, from the branch, and they've fallen to the ground. And you can also think of it in terms of the opposite situation for some genus of trees, like beech and oak in particular. That abscission layer takes all winter to break away. So uh-huh. that's when we enjoy the English oaks, for example. They can hold some of their leaves late into the season, and they're the color of a brown paper bag. Which is still a color.
Yeah, it's a color.
It's not,
it's not very stunning.
It's not selected for jewelry.
It's not sugar maple.
Yeah, there's no russet brown diamonds that I'm aware of, but there is chocolate in that color.
Actually, there are chocolate diamonds.
Yeah, they are, but they just...
They aren't as fun, though.
They're not as underwhelming.
Have...
But the beauty of those oak leaves and other trees that hold those leaves late is there's still some winter character there, and they offer a sound on a windy day, and it's a peaceful, wonderful sound, in my opinion. So in addition to that abscission layer deal taking place, there's some anthocyanins, which is a chemical that's associated with the red we see in everything from burning bush to black gum, tupelo, and they're produced in the fall. These anthocyanins, when the reduction of photosynthesis occurs,
mm-hmm.
and there are carotenoids, which bring us the orange and yellow colors. And then I mentioned the oak leaves that are oftentimes brown. There are tannins in those brown leaves, and you can even make your own stain if you're really cheap by soaking those leaves in water along with maybe some black walnuts, which are also heavy in those dark ebony-colored tannins.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, the science of fall colors. It's complicated.
There are lots of factors, you know. So we have the hot and cool factors, you know, wet and dry factors, because the sunlight part still kind of stays the same, you know. So a lot of times we see cases where we anticipate fall colors, and you'll see a tree that has a branch or branches within it that have already started to change color. And yeah, that can be attributed to fall color change a little bit, but that phenomenon is just as often as likely related to a stress factor. And a stress factor could be the simple absence of rain and a little too much heat for late in the season. It's not you and I that just long for those cool days and nights. The trees do too. Cool season soils are when the roots do most of their growing. Not really related to fall color, however.
Okay.
So there are a couple scenarios we can kind of practice on, Laura. So we got the fall that we have here, and it's dry, and that can lead towards a intense but short-lived fall period, fall colors period.
Right.
Where if it's wet but it's warm, you could have a dull but long-lasting fall color.
Okay.
All right. And then the opposites of that come along with it. So in many cases, if you see a whole bunch of trees changing early, then I think one could say the leaves are changing early.
All right.
But they're just changing. Whether they're changing early or not really is not the accurate way to look at it.
Okay.
If you were to take a calendar and write down and refer to it the next year, you would see that the fall color change happens pretty much at the same time every year. And I think that we're a little bit distracted by the summer-like weather that still occurs in the fall for this year's scenario.
Yeah.
So what's the ideal thing for fall color is cool, wet weather. So the leaves, they'll go through their color change, and there'll be less of that noticeable stress. But whatever the combination of factors is, it always leads up to a day in November, a day in November. And it's I'm not going
like
to talk about Guns N' Roses. I'm not going
okay.
to Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
I want to.
But we
but
won't.
I'm not going to go to Guns N' Roses. But we all know the day in November where it's like, oh, geez, I guess fall is here, and I better bring in the hoses and stuff. And it's usually after that fall November thunderstorm and rainstorm. There might be some hail or some freezing rain involved. And that's also the day that Mother Nature literally physically knocks all the leaves off of the tree.
Yeah.
And then they're all over the ground. And then if you're a gardener with a lawn, you're scratching your head saying, can I get one more mowing in? Can I chop those leaves up one more time? Because I had it looking so good before that storm came along.
Hey, Murph, I'm going to ask a question.
Yeah.
If you want to plant for interesting fall color, and if you get the really good, you know, perfect weather conditions, a lot of people tend to want to go for sugar maples because they give you a really beautiful color. But can you give us some different options if we want to have interesting fall color?
I would love to. For shade trees that are the size of the sugar maple, I always have to throw out the black gum. And
ooh,
also because my favorite college football teams, Redbirds and Roll Tide, they are red and white. So ISU, I think, would be a great place to have lots of black gums, and we do have them. But let me tell you, it's a glossy red, and it's beautiful, and it's deep. So I say burning bush and black gum because we all know the burning bush, which is a small foundation shrub.
Yes.
Unless you have one of the old-fashioned full-size jobbers.
We had one.
Yeah, they kind of go from, you know, a rosy red to a pink, you know, so you've got that. There are also oaks that I think have fantastic long-lasting gold color.
Like what?
Swamp white oak.
Mm-hmm.
And chinquapin oak.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, while we're talking about leaves, let's talk about next week, Murph.
The product.
Yes, to rake leaves or not to rake leaves. That's next week on GLT's Grow. If you've got a gardening question, we'd love to hear from you. Go to our website and submit it, wglt.org/grow.